Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. If Stephanie was here, she'd say, your hermitage of the heart, and then I would say, or I will say, your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this challenging life. And we're here again, part two on spiritual direction, progress of the soul, with Dr. Anthony Lillis, been the academic dean of three seminaries, best spiritual direction, still with a spiritual theologian with a pulse. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lillis.
It's wonderful to be with you, Dan. Thanks for that warm introduction.
Now, who would you say, who was the best spiritual theologian in the last 100 years? I'm just curious.
Wow. Well, Garrigou Lagrange.
That's who it came to mind for me, too.
Yeah, I think he advanced some questions that were really important to advance, you know, but in saying that, you know, there's a Juan Arantero who was like the pioneer who started the direction. And, you know, more recently, Jordan Alman and Antonio Royo Marin.
These are all Dominicans. The other one, let's just give the Carmelites the credit, Father Marie Eugene.
Oh, yeah.
Which you've been teaching through. It's interesting, Dr. Lillis has been teaching through that for those who are in what we call our Avila army, which are those who support us on a monthly basis at the Avila Institute. And what's interesting, I ran into a consecrated former member of the Notre Dame de Vie, the community that he established, and she told me that he was very much a Thomist, which is interesting, and that the translation, the only translation we have of his works, isn't very good. So I'm kind of intrigued now to see what it would look like to go through his works a little bit better translated.
I sometimes have wondered about the translation myself. What he brings to bear is his mind is very Thomistic. And so for me, because I've been trained in that same pattern of thought, he's pretty easy to follow. I can anticipate mm-hmm. where it's going to go. But what he does, which is the twist that I don't think anyone else does as well, is that he knows the life of Teresa de Jesus, Teresa of Avila, and St. John of the Cross so well, in such detail, he can pull vignettes and stories and parts of letters, and all of a sudden a doctrine that might seem a little bit stiff, all of a sudden explodes with life. You can see the wisdom of it in a whole other way.
And sounds anyway, like a new class is emerging that you'd be teaching on, based on his works, huh?
Yeah, well, he would be an easy one to have a course work out of. And the other thing, he's a little bit like you, Dan. I don't think he set out to start Notre Dame de Vie like it wasn't a career ambition, but it just kind of, this community rose up in response to some of the things that he was teaching among his directees. And for me, this just reinforces the truth. Good spiritual doctrine brings about a union of hearts. Mm. When you are helping each other go into holiness, like holy friendships just unfold in that environment. And he illustrates it. And that's about you too. You've helped this happen in the church in our time. So I'm thinking of Apostoli Vie, but also the Avila Institute. These are things that have brought a lot of good people together.
You know, it's interesting. It reminds me to invite our listeners, because I think this show will air before the study starts, but even if it doesn't, you're welcome to join in. We're starting a book study on a book called Remain in Me by Father Wayne Sattler. And it's about understanding God as a person and not just an idea. And you can get connected with us there at spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. If this show is a blessing to you and you want to go deeper, we will be meeting on second to fourth Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. And it'll be very expensive. Total cost will be free. maybe we'll hope to see you there. But Dr. Lolas, we ended our last show talking about the progress of the soul. And you were saying that, you know, as someone is beginning the spiritual life, beginning to read scripture, practicing Lectio Divina, a daily examination of conscience, which I always like to use Godward examination because it's not a navel gazing sort of thing. It's an examining who we are in the context of God, like who does he want me to be, who is he calling me to be, and who is he, you know, and then comparing ourselves and how did we do compared to yesterday. You mentioned my book, Navigating the Interior Life, which is the first book I wrote in 2011. But in that book, I have an approach that helps people at this stage come to an understanding of their root sin or their dominant area they need to focus on. What's kind of funny with new directees, though, is they take that little self-guided test that I put together in the book. They get a little flabbergasted because their check marks will cross all these different categories. And so what I tell them to do for the first year is take each category and put it on a piece of paper in a circle around a chair. You got to make sure the chair swivels. Close your eyes, spin the chair, and then stomp your foot. And whichever category you hit, you start there, you know? I know it sounds a little absurd, but I do mean it in this sense. When we're first starting out, our self-knowledge is so poor and so inadequate. Trying to get clarity, it took me years to, maybe I'm just defective, I don't know. It took me years to understand that what my root sin was or is. And I had misdiagnosed it at first, but the grace of that was I made a lot of spiritual progress, even in the misdiagnosis. And in it, I learned I wasn't what I thought I was. So just start somewhere is kind of the point.
And isn't it true that one of the things that helped you kind of discover your root sin, you know, what was really going on, wasn't it a conversation with a spiritual director that finally helped? In other words, it wasn't like you sitting by yourself and trying to figure it out by yourself. You actually needed to talk to someone.
Well, funny enough, it's a sad story. So I had my spiritual director and I went through the process and I proclaimed to him what my root sin was. And I said it was sensuality, and it might mainly be just because of all my ailments and, you know, physical challenges. And I was valiantly fighting all of them and thought pretty highly of myself in so doing. And so I thought, well, that's my root, you know, sin, because it's such a focus. And he said, it's not your root sin, my spiritual director. And because I was a terrible directee, I said, yes, it is. And he as a good director, he just smiled at me and he said, okay, well, let's just work on this then. And then a year later or so, or 2 years later, I was working for a very holy priest, Father John Bartunek, who wrote the best daily meditation on the Gospels written, I think, called The Better Part. Well, Father Bartunek and I were talking and I said, oh, my root sin is sensuality. He said, no, it's not. And he did it viscerally, which he was very prudent. He never did something like that. And he's like, wow, I should not have said that. I'm so sorry. I apologize. And blah, blah, blah. Took me 15 minutes to get him to tell me what he thought my root sin was. And he was right. And it was pride, of course, manifest in my first meeting with my director, who's laughing at me because he knows it's pride. And I'm telling him he's wrong about his assessment of my root sin, you know? So, but it was a blow, I have to say, when Father Bartunek said that, because I totally respected him, as I did my other director, but even more so. And I just thought, oh, that what an ugly sin to be your root sin. And I was so valiantly fighting the other one. I was so amazing in my battle, you know. So, you know, just start somewhere is kind of the point. And what'll happen is, if your sacramental life is growing or sound, you're practicing mental prayer, you're in the scriptures, start somewhere and you will grow. But the key is focus somewhere. And that's where I think the power of like a root sin analysis comes in, is you say, okay, well, this is the sin. This is how it manifests, specifically plays out You know, so for me, it was with irritability because I just didn't feel good most of the time, which then, you know, makes it easy to be irritable and grumpy. And so just beginning to work out, okay, how do I be more patient? How do I control my frustration and that sort of thing? And of course, I made spiritual progress, but then later shifted to working on pride directly. And that was even better. This is huge. What we're talking about is what Teresa of Avila speaks of in the first three mansions, right? In the interior castle. We're going to come to a break in just a minute or two here, but I want to offer for folks, if you're thinking, well, I'd like to do a root sin analysis. So to help you with roots, you know, find your own root sin, one, you can buy my book, Navigating the Interior Life, at spiritualdirection.com/shop. But we also have a workbook that you can download to help you with it as well. So you can get that at spiritualdirection.com/root sin, all one word, ROOTSIN. So you can check that out. So Dr. Lillis, now I want to shift gears. Let's say the directee has been fighting mortal sin. They've gotten past habitual mortal sin. They're making real progress in the purgative way. They start to attack venial sin, which they didn't care about before because the love was not, the virtue, the theological virtue of love was not flourishing yet in them, but is now because they're drawing closer to the Lord and they're seeing more clearly. And now we move into a place that's super important for directors to understand, because if you're in direction, I don't know what the percentage of people is, but in the community of Apostle EVA, we have a lot of people who make it to this point and the transition begins to happen. Your prayer begins to change. And it can get really frustrating. And there are, you know, the St. John of the Cross in Living Flame of Love says there are three forces at this stage that can get you to turn back, meaning fall backwards on your progress. One is you, the second is the devil, and the third is your spiritual director. And he spends more time, I think, if I remember right, in Living Flame of Love on bad spiritual direction. But when we get back from the break, what I want to do is talk about how prayer begins to change and then help people to understand how to transition through that and go from there. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right. So we'll be back in just a minute. Before we go, I want to tell you there's a great course at the Avila Institute called The Road to Self-Awareness and Healing, taught by Dr. Ian Murphy. The students love him to death for good reason. He's funny, good storyteller, great teacher. Avila-Institute.org, Avila-Institute.org. And we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, and I'm here with Dr. Anthony Lillis, the co-founder of the Avila Institute, former academic dean of three seminaries, did his doctoral work at the Angelicum in Rome on Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, who was only Blessed Elizabeth at the time. But Dr. Lillis is the best spiritual director with a pulse, in English anyway, that I know of. And we're talking about progress of the soul and spiritual direction. Dr. Lillis, so we're talking about now the soul is making progress. And what will normatively happen is that prayer will begin to change. And how does what occurs in that time, which can be very frustrating and confusing for the soul who's doing very well otherwise?
Yeah, well, there's a few aspects to it. One thing that happens to this particular soul that you're describing is they have the experience on their side. They're convinced, in fact, that their life is getting worse, and that they have done something to offend God, and they're questioning in their heart, is my prayer real? Because it seems like as I've surrendered into prayer and as I've tried to grow into prayer, rather than becoming a better person, I seem to be becoming a worse person.
But it's not objectively true, is it?
No, but it's their subjective experience. Mm-hmm. What's happened, I tease a little bit on this point because, you know, no, actually what's happening isn't that you've become a better, become a worse person. For the first time in your life, you've realized how bad you actually are.
So that's true, but they're actually closer to God than they were a year ago, right? They're further from the enemy than they were, but they're seeing clearly. Their self-knowledge is growing.
That's it. Venial sin, you said it. This was the hint. You said it in your last set of comments. Venial sin, which they wasn't any concern to them before, all of a sudden kind of like they become aware of what is actually going on with these actions that you make sometimes without you just mindlessly and recklessly, you know, say something or do something. And before it didn't bother you that you were doing these things. And now you're kind of sensitive to them. And the reason why you're sensitive to them is that on a deep abiding level, your soul has tasted the goodness and the holiness of God. And he has become the standard for the way you see your life in a Amen. Way that you Beautifully wasn't said. Before.
Beautifully said. So it's really important. We got to cover this today. What happens in prayer? So the first thing that happens in prayer is that you begin to disbelieve that anything is happening. But what is the experience, though, and how does it change from usually consolations when people first start? And that means they've got all kinds of encouragement and insight and wisdom and that sort of thing. But what happens in this stage? How does it feel beyond just the wondering, am I on the right track or not?
Yeah, well, compounding this wondering whether I'm on the right track is the fact that the consolations that you first received when you were first converted, you know, and you began to get rid of, you know, mortal sin and start living a better, more virtuous life, there were a lot of consolations, sometimes even a sensible feeling of God's presence, of his blessing, of his goodness. All of a sudden, all those kind of more physical, emotional consolations, they're taken away from you just at this time where you're also wondering, you're seeing how
broken,
how ugly sin is. And so the two things, and this is what causes you, the other thing that you wonder, did I do something to offend God because he was so close before? What has happened? And a bad spiritual director at this stage of the game will assume, based on the two factors that we just spelled out, they'll assume that this soul is actually backsliding rather than making progress.
Right.
And this is where a good spiritual director really discerns what exactly is going on here. And because what needs to begin to happen is a movement from one kind of prayer where you're taking initiative, you're using your natural power of reason, you're developing there's a virtue of prayerfulness that that God is, his grace is bringing to completion in you, is healing, but his, you know, you didn't have it before, and now you're becoming naturally prayerful the way we're supposed to. And then God is now beginning this new kind of grace, operative grace or a mystical grace that is changing you in a new way and calls for a deeper kind of surrender, so that rather than prayers where you're in control, your prayer becomes a little bit more surrendering to what God is doing in your heart. And so that's more of a contemplative it's called prayer of quiet.
Contemplative aridity.
Yeah. You're receptive to what God is doing, even though he doesn't seem to be doing anything.
Your senses are no longer occupied. So bad direction, as you said, in this moment would be I've seen this actually a lot, because knowing people who are with directors, most people I know have spiritual directors because of the community and the way we live, but I've seen it a lot happen where I know something's going on in a person's life and I know what they're telling their director, and their director is believing their distorted self-perception about what's going on. It's really important that directors don't always necessarily take at face value what a director says is going on in their life, whether it's in relationship with other people or a relationship with God or whatever. You've always got to be very careful and be discerning and not just sit there and go, oh yeah, this is all true, therefore I'm going to make you go back to your formal way of prayer. Because what's supposed to happen in this moment is that rather than going back to the method, let's say, of Lectio Divina, or the method that's helped you of, some kind of imaginative prayer like Ignatian prayer, what needs to occur is you need to yield to the silence that the Lord is drawing you into. Is that an accurate way, or give me some more words around that?
Yeah, I love that language of yield to the silence that the Lord is visiting you with, because it is a new kind of communication. John of the Cross speaks of a ray of darkness or a divine inflow or a general loving knowledge begins to flood your soul. And because it's so unfamiliar and really it's uncomfortable too, like we've already described, it's inconvenient. This general loving knowledge, though, is doing more for your soul than all your spiritual exercises that you've ever done in your whole life up to this time.
And it feels the exact opposite.
And so this is where, and this is something that you say a lot, Dan, is you don't live your spiritual life by what you feel,
right?
Or what you imagine or what you intuit. The spiritual life is happening in a much deeper level than your psychological powers can go. Your own power of self-awareness is limited. God is working on a much deeper level in you and communicating this general loving knowledge and a much deeper level of your being than conscious thought can penetrate. And so having a good director and learning to trust him when he says, Jesus is doing something very special, yield to the silence. It's really hard for the person receiving direction to do that, because they're so convinced they've done something wrong, they don't see how loved that they are. And the only way forward is to trust. But it presumes that the spiritual director is himself surrendered to what God is doing in his own heart, in his own life. Yeah.
Yeah. And the wisdom that we're sharing is from the Carmelite tradition. I mean, there's so much more and we're out of time, but if you want to learn more, there are a couple courses at the Abel Institute. One's called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God. The other one is, I think, called The Dark Night in Contemplation. Another one's called Spiritual Warfare and the Progress of the Soul. So all of these courses teach you the progress of the soul and the different aspects of how the Lord's calling you into them. You can go to avila-institute.com to learn more. Obviously, we have thousands of videos and articles on spiritualdirection.com as well. And you should be reading anything Dr. Lillis writes. What's the name of your last book, Dr. Lillis? Remind me. The Fire From Above.
Well, Fire From Above, I published that. I just released with Father Ignatius Schweitzer and Julie Insler a book called Named for Glory.
And
St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. And
that's right. That's right. What a great book. So anything he does is worth listening to, buying, spending time. And if he's teaching any classes at the Abel Institute, you got to jump on it. If you're a priest out there who is wanting deeper formation in this sort of thing, check out myhighcalling.com. Or what's the other website, Dr. Lillis, that they can go to?
There's Priestly Renewal. Yeah, PriestlyRenewal.com.
PriestlyRenewal.com or .org, is it? So either way. Yeah, so this is formation that we've developed, led by Dr. Lillis and Dr. Joseph Holcraft, to help priests become spiritual directors, particularly aiming at helping them to help other young men who are in formation come to know the depths of what it means to be in union with God, so they can have strength to fight in this time. Whatever it is that the church needs for healing, or you need for healing, you're going to find it somehow connected to the Avila Foundation. So please support us. Be generous to our work. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And please dig in a bit for yourself, because when you change, because you meet Jesus, the world changes around you. You become an epicenter of grace, which will set off all kinds of holy earthquakes all around you. And that's what we need for a revolution in the church, not to change the church, but to bring it to its fruition in us and in the world. Thank you for being with me on these conversations, Dr. Lillis. It's been a blessing.
For me too. Thank you, Dan.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.